I kind of feel like Ezra at times, maybe you do, because there are times when you know who God is, you know how big God is. And then there are times when you're like, oh, I don't know if I trust him right now. And you struggle with that.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Today on In Christ, we continue in the Building Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. Now last time, we began the journey home, seeing how God's people trusted him for protection and provision along the way. So today we continue in Ezra chapter 8, verses 24 through 36, with the journey home, part 2. In this passage, Ezra entrusts the priests with responsibility of carrying the treasure for the temple. There is accountability, careful preparation, and a shared commitment to honor what belongs to God. Then the journey unfolds, and as they trusted, God brings them safely to Jerusalem. When they arrive, they worship, give thanks, and complete the mission God had set before them. Now, trusting God doesn't remove responsibility. It deepens it. Faith walks hand in hand with stewardship, obedience, and follow through. So as God leads you forward, are you not only trusting him, but also faithfully handling what he has placed in your care? Let's grab our Bibles, turn with me to Ezra chapter 8, starting in verse 24, with the journey home, part 2. Here's Pastor Ben.
Now, think about this. I want you to jot this down for me. There are three areas in which our enemies attack us. First and foremost, discouragement. Discouragement. We read in Ezra chapter 4:4, it says, when the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. Very, very simple. Okay? So, discouragement. They want to discourage you. And that's what the enemies of the Lord will want to do in your life, discourage you. Oh, don't read the Bible. Oh, don't go to Wednesday night Bible study. Oh, don't do that. You already know this stuff. No, it's discouragement. The second thing, another area of attack, is fear. Ezra 4:4 says, they troubled, notice, them in building. They troubled. The word troubled is Bahal, and it's trembling inwardly to make afraid, dismayed, alarmed. So what did they do? They wanted to scare them. They wanted to offer fear. And that's what the enemy does to us when we purpose to follow Jesus. It'll come out of the woodwork when somebody says, hey, listen, if you do this, you're not going to get a promotion. And they just bring all this type of fear. And last but not least, the third area of attack is frustration. Look at Ezra 4:5. It says they hired counselors against them, what? To frustrate their purpose all the days of King Cyrus of Persia. Let me tell you one thing, okay? Being real. Some of the biggest frustration in my walk is when I don't understand what God's doing. When God hasn't laid out every plan for me I could read the scripture, but some of the frustration comes when I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. And I feel like I'm going in this direction sometimes the enemy will hire counselors, if you will, to frustrate to where we can't see the purpose of God in our lives. We can't see it. We're just, I can't see it. And so those are some areas that we need to look out for: discouragement, fear, frustration. And as we come to chapter 8, we learn that Ezra, well, he's on his way home. But what we have to understand is that journey to get where he's going, it's a journey. And the way you and I apply it, it parallels the journey we call life, right? We call life. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Most of us, if not all of us, have a date in which we were born. You go, Ben, that's Captain Obvious. If the Lord tarries, we'll also have a date in which we, I don't like to call it pass, where we just graduate. But in between that is a little dash. You guys know the dash. That's the journey of life right there. This little dash. When you were born, when you're going to die. Nobody likes to talk about dying, but it's still the dash. That's the journey of life. The dash. And one of the things we need to know with Ezra in our lives is it parallels each other a little bit. You go, how so? Well, again, if you're a note taker, remember his journey from Babylon to Jerusalem, it's going to be filled with the unknown. He's coming back 900 miles. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know who's on the road. He doesn't know about the robbers. He doesn't any of it. It's unknown. And that's a lot like our lives. Our lives are also filled with unknowns. Unknowns. And that frustrates us a little bit. We wish that we had plan A, plan B. We knew everything that was going to happen. And this is how we'd like to live. But there's stuff that just comes out of the blue, and it's unknown. Think about it. Some of you didn't realize that you were going to end up living in Lubbock, Texas. There you go.
Not me.
If you would have asked me as a 17-year-old senior in high school, you're going to be a pastor and move to Lubbock, I would have said, you're crazy. Life is full of unknowns, isn't it? His journey, number two, is also filled, guys, with prayer and humility, and it has to. It has to. If you're going to take a bunch of people, this caravan, back to Jerusalem, there has to be prayer and humility. And our journey should be filled with prayer and humility. Let me say this to you. Every Thursday, tomorrow, we have noonday prayer. We gather and we pray. What a privilege it is for us to come and pray. Now, I know some of you work. I understand that. But if you can take your lunch hour at that time and pray wherever you're at, that's amazing. But our lives need to be full of prayer, because that is such a sweet time of worship that we get to talk to God. And there's no prescribed method to talk to God. It's not like, okay, the only way God hears you, if you fold your hands and you bow just like this and say, Lord God of heaven, just talk to God. The problem is that sometimes when we talk to God, we don't give him a chance to respond, do we? And our prayer lives go, God, give me this, and I can't about this, I'm doing this here, and what about this, and amen, and we run off. And we don't understand God's like, hey, he wants to talk to us. And so prayer is important. If I can encourage you in any way, prayer should be with your Bible open so you can hear his response. I don't recommend Bible roulette, okay, where you go, Lord, whatever you're going, Lord, give me a verse, right? And Jesus wept. Oh, no, we don't do that. It's just where you're at reading and let him speak to you in that way. But our lives should also be lives marked with humility. Humility. You see, I think that's a characteristic that's missing in today's Christian. Humility. Because, man, we all have the gift of pride. We all have the gift. It's there. It's in us. And so we have to work hard to humble ourselves and go, Lord, you're amazing. When God does amazing things, we need to remember that it's God. When God uses you and you and you and you in every way, shape, or form, we have to give glory back to God. Number three, think about this. His journey is one of an answered prayer. Answered prayer. We also can relate to that. Our journey in life is often filled with answered prayers. But here's what I would encourage you to do. Write those answered prayers down. We are a forgetful people. You know what I'm talking about. So God can move mightily in your life. So amazing that you're just like blown away. And we won't write it down, and we'll a year will go by or 2 years will go by, and we'll forget how mightily, and then we'll find ourselves in a situation and go, I don't know if God's going to do this or not. And that's why a journal is so important. You can go back and go, Lord, you moved here when I, okay. Because again, I want to glorify God in his answered prayers. But let me remind you, church, because I love you so much, sometimes his answers is, come on, no. Yeah, you guys know that. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says no. A little thing I like to teach my granddaughter is grandpa, he's grandpa yes. Okay, he's grandpa yes. We'll go to the store. Grandpa, can I have this? Yes. Grandpa, can I have, yes. That I'm grandpa yes. But and here's the point. That when I ever tell my granddaughter no, for safety reasons, no, we're not going to do this, or no, you can't, I want her to realize, oh, grandpa yes said no, there must be a very good reason. Well, it's the same with God. God is a God of yes. He loves us and he wants to bless us, but there are times he says no. Are we dancing in our house and rejoicing when he says no? Or are we whining, going, this is what I want. This is what I want. It's a journey for Ezra walking with God as he goes home. And isn't that beautiful? That's the dash between our birth date and our death date. Can you imagine? This is what our tomb should say. Here's when you were born. The dash says walking with God. And then here's when you're dead. That's all it needs to say. He walked with God. He walked with God. How cool is that? Because that's what Ezra's doing. Ezra's walking with God. So those are some things we're going to see as we finish up tonight. Let me start out in verse 15. Okay, last week we made it to verse 23, but for the sake of continuity, let's go back and let's read this. Put on your thinking caps, church. This is a 900-mile journey of the unknowns, if you will. Look at verse 15 of chapter 8. He says, now I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. Why did we camp there 3 days? There was a lot of people moving. They're tired. You can't move that. Hey, let's take some time to rest. Hey, by the way, could I encourage you to take some time to rest? In this journey called life, you need to take some time to rest. Really simple. Why? What did I think of that? No, well, here it is. It's in God's word. You go, what does that mean? There are just times in life where we need to take a time just to rest, just to rest. Okay. Now, some of us call it vacation. Sometimes vacation is not a rest. Sometimes you need a vacation from your vacation, but rest. So they're there 3 days, and I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there. And I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elthanan, or Elnathan, however you want to say that, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, Meshulam, leaders also for Jorarib and Elthanan, men of understanding. Verse 17, and I gave them command for Edo, the chief man of the place of Casiphia, and I told them what they should say to Edo and his brethren, the Nethium, in the place of Casiphia. And they should bring us servants for the house of God. You go, what does he say there? Here, let me read it to you in a different translation. I think you'll get the gist. Ezra says, I sent them to Edo. He was the leader of the Levites there at Casiphia, okay? So Edo is the leader of the Levites. He says, hey, here's what you need to ask him. Ask him and his relatives and the temple servants to send us ministers to help us in Jerusalem. The equivalent would be like, hey, I reached out to this church that I knew and I asked, hey, there are people there that could come and help us in Lubbock. And so this is what he's saying. He's probably saying, so what we need to know is that Edo probably indicates that he was some sort of head priest of the Levites and there in located in Casiphia. You know, well, where was Casiphia? Well, we're not exactly sure, but it was possible location of where the Jewish sanctuary was at this time. And so he's calling Edo, says, hey, we need some help. We need some help. And I think that's a good reminder for us in the body of Christ. You ready? Jot this down. We don't do life alone. Ezra's not like, you know what? God called me. I'm going to go. I'll go by myself. He says, hey, Edo, can you send some help? We're going to need some help. And I think it's a good thing for us to learn in our church today is that we need each other's help. We need to do life together. This is what community is about. In the book of Nehemiah, you're going to see that there's a guy by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah, and they want to get Nehemiah over into the Valley of Ono. And you know what Nehemiah says? Oh, no, I'm not going to go over there. Why? Because you want to get me away from my community, from my help. No, I'm doing an important work. And so the application for you and I in our church, guys, is understand we need to reach out and help and come alongside people. This is what God is calling us to do. Edo, yes, bring some help. Verse 18, then by the good hand of God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of Mahili and the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah, with his sons and brothers, 18 men, look at verse 19, and Hashabiah with him, Jesiah, the sons of Merai, his brothers, their sons, 20 men, also the Nethium, whom David and the leaders appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethium, these are just servants, guys, All of them were designated by name. Now, here's what I love about this. Ezra asked, and here's what we found. 38 Levites, 220 servants respond to Ezra's call to enlist. I'll go. Well, you know nothing. Nope, I'll go back to Jerusalem. I'll serve. Guys, the application for you and I is that when it comes to the work of the Lord, we need to be those that respond. I'll go. I'll do it. What can I do? Some of us are limited in what we can do, but we need to have a heart that says yes when it comes to the work of the Lord. You're saved here today. You're saved today for the work of the Lord. That's why he saved you. You gave the world how many good years? You guys know this. You know this. When you were out in the world and somebody called, hey, you want to go do this? Yeah, let's go. And there you went, 9 o'clock at night. You didn't care what time it was. And now as a Christian, you're like, wait, what? 9 p.m.? You want me to do what? Well, I already got my pajamas on at 7:30. Are you kidding me? Here's the point. I think we need to have a heart that says, whatever it's for the Lord, I want to be ready. If I can do it, I'll help. If I can't, I get that. Now, when they got there, think about this. Ezra's journey is one of what? Prayer and humility. Because look what he said. He said in verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek him from the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Don't you just love the shepherd's heart that Ezra has? All these guys come up, and the first thing he does, and he's like, ah, look at y'all. Come on, man. This is great. Let's go. He goes, oh, no. Hold on. Let's make sure we inquire of the Lord. Let's make sure we ask God. You guys remember Joshua in the book of Joshua? Joshua got duped because he didn't inquire of the Lord when the Gibeonites came and tricked him. The Gibeonites came and they wore out their sandals and they had moldy bread. And they're like, we've been walking a long time. We're from like way yonder, they told Joshua. Do you remember? And Joshua's like, okay, let's make a covenant. And they realize, and then they go over the hill and it's like, oh, that's our house right there. And he made a covenant with them because the Bible says they didn't inquire of the Lord. Now, let me say something silly to you. I think you should inquire of the Lord when you go to Walmart. Lord, is this where you want me to go? Lord, help me find a good parking spot. Lord, help me to be safe. Lord, if there's somebody I need to minister to, Lord, if there's something I can do, is this where you want me to go? And you go, Ben, that's silly. I'm not going to pray every time I go to Walmart. You inquire of the Lord about everything. Well, I don't want to get in trouble. And so Ezra says, I'm going to proclaim a fast, right? The word fast there, I find interesting. It means to cover one's mouth, okay? To cover one's mouth, not to allow food to come in, but also to be quiet. I can't hear God's voice when I'm talking. I have to be quiet to hear. And so a fast, he's like, okay, let's hear. Let's listen. And let's be honest, silence bugs us, doesn't it? We don't like silence. Sometimes in church, we'll have an afterglow. And an afterglow is we'll be waiting on the Spirit. And it just will wait. And about a minute goes by and you can start seeing people going like, what's going to happen? And the worship leader is going, should I play a song? We're just not used to corporate silence. Let me say that. But he says, there's times when we need to listen to what God's saying. Well, why, Ezra? Why did you proclaim a fast? He says, I was ashamed. Look at verse 22. I was ashamed to request the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy. This is unknown. He's like, but why, Ezra, why were you ashamed? He says, because I had spoken to the king saying, the hand of God is upon us for all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. He's going, I told the king, God's got this, right? I told the king, he's going to get us through. All God is with all of us that are for him, but he kind of got in the flesh a little bit. You go, how so? Well, he sort of freaked out. He's like, oh, but I didn't realize this is dangerous. I kind of feel like Ezra at times. Maybe you do too. And you go, why? Because there are times when you know who God is. You know how big God is. And then there are times when you're like, oh, I don't know if I trust him right now. And you struggle with that. Well, Ezra calls, he calls for a fast. He says, hey, let me pray. Let me get back. Let me make sure. Look at verse 23. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. That's a good place for an amen. Because he answers prayer. He answers prayer. But I love the sincerity, and I love the pureness of Ezra's heart. Ezra didn't get prideful going, well, you know, I told the king, and now I'm just, I don't know. I'll tell you what. Let me see what I can do. Oh, okay. Okay, Keon. You're going to be my soldier. Okay, you're my soldier. Okay, Jesse, you're my soldier. Let's see. Well, I'll make up my own soldiers. We'll get through this. That's us, what? That's us trying to take stuff in our own hands. And Ezra goes, I don't think I misspoke, but just to be sure, I'm going to call for a fast. I'm going to pray. Why? Why? Because I want to know that everything, what God has for us and our little ones, what does God want? We trusted and we called out to the Lord. One of the things you need to write down in your notes is that prayer requires patience. Prayer requires patience. We live in a microwavable world where you put something in the microwave, it gets done pretty quick. And so that's how you feel prayer should be. So how long you pray for that? Oh, 5 minutes. God didn't answer. It's like, really? 5 minutes? Prayer requires us to be patient. Okay, Lord, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till, you know, I have a peace in my heart about it. I'm going to wait. Patience. Okay. Sometimes we don't move until we hear from God. Sometimes we don't move. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Now, let me give you two thoughts on this verse, okay, in these verses. Number one, Ezra had previously expressed great confidence in the hand of God upon him and his expedition. We're going home. And he did not want to contradict these prior words with later actions in asking a king for an escort in the soldiers and the horsemen. He expressed great confidence, so he didn't want to go back and go, hey, you know what? I misspoke. Lord, could you help me? That's a school of thought on these verses. But also, too, calling out to God, Ezra knew, number two, that there were robbers along the way in the land that he must pass through. So Ezra was also being wise. But I think there's some application here for us. You go, how so? God's hand is also upon us. Through this thing called life, okay? The date we were born, the dash, the journey, you need to know that, again, God's hand is upon you. Here's what you need to write in your notes if you're a note taker. Everything in your life is Father filtered. Everything in your life is Father filtered. It means it has to go through God first. And sometimes God is like, okay, I'll let that happen. I want to see my child grow. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com,
simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.